This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanizan. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday the 11th of December, and it's midway through yet another week, guys. Can you imagine, though, that it is actually 2 weeks to Christmas? Has anybody realised? It's 14 days precisely.
I'm starting to panic because I haven't bought all my gifts yet, as usual.
Here.
I have no such qualms. I have.
So you're just a cheap, not giving gift kind of Scrooge.
No, I've decided that I'm going to give one annual gift a year, and that's it. Diwali, birthday, Christmas, all rolled into one. It'll be one magnificent present.
I hope it's magnificent. Okay.
I mean,
there's a lot of pressure there now, Roshan. It's going to be.
Just give a lot more money to one person.
What about to all your? Okay, so the rest of. It looks like we're not getting anything, Lin Mark.
Nope, doesn't look like it, Shani.
We'll be lucky to get a coffee on Christmas Eve, I guess.
I'm so glad I didn't have to tell you that and you all figured it out on your own.
Pretty much.
What a wonderful colleague. Yeah, so I mean, it is midway through December and I'm also starting to panic a little bit when it comes to my Christmas shopping. And actually, that's one of the subjects we're going to be tackling in this 6 o'clock hour gift giving. But what else do we have on the list?
I'm going to ask whether we need to be watched in order to behave ourselves. If nobody's looking, are we going to do something wrong? Be naughty? You know, it's Santa season, so who's naughty and nice?
Well, let's hope Santa isn't watching, I guess. But you know what? We should be watching internal party disputes. We'll be talking about this after the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin because Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has called for a stop to internal party disputes. I'm sure he's the first one who's done it and that this will confirm succeed. But we'll talk about it later.
Now, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be talking about the science behind giving good gifts. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Ready for Love by Bad Company. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Xiaoning and Roshan. Hopefully good company for you this Wednesday morning. So the first story that we're going to be tackling today is in light of the holiday season, because it is 2 weeks to Christmas Day. And if you're anything like me, you've seen the date and are now starting to think, oh no, I actually have to think about what I'm buying people for Christmas. And the BBC has addressed has tried to break down the science behind giving good gifts. So they've got a couple of things that you should keep in mind if you're going to be shopping for a present or choosing presents for people. And it's an interesting article because it does, you know, it addresses one of the things that it addresses that I find myself agreeing with is that you should just ask people what they want. Why is it such a taboo?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know, just ask. I agree with you. Just come out and say, what do you want? Because, you know, and then everybody will be in a happier place. The only problem might be if the person asks for something that you can't afford. And then you say it's expensive. Then the person might say, but then you love me, right? Aren't I worth it? Then you get into this gray territory. Then it gets a bit difficult. But I think otherwise, asking people what they want is perfect.
I can safely say that I've never experienced that. But I will say this, though. Yes, asking people is a very straightforward manner. But getting a gift that you didn't ask for but is something you like is better than the gift itself, right? Because it shows that some person knows you. It shows you that
they've thought about you.
That they've thought about. This is the adage, right? That it's the thought that counts.
It's true. But haven't we all received gifts we're like, and then we look at them and like, upper two.
Yeah. So,
you're like, what is
this? It is worse to get a gift that someone doesn't like. So in the hierarchy of things is, yes, the worst thing is to get a gift you don't like. Second is, I mean, if you ask for something, you get it. Okay, lah. I mean, no, but it's very transactional, right?
I think the worst thing is not getting a gift you don't like, is knowing that the person didn't care about picking the gift. That is the worst thing. And that was just careless. He was just like, or he or she or whatever, was just like, Allah, whatever, Allah, just pack it and
obligation
wrap it.
Obligation presents.
Yeah.
As opposed to making a mistake in the purchase.
Yeah. Because if it was a mistake, it was an honest mistake and the person was genuine in terms of thinking about the gift and wrapping it, you know, all that effort went to it. But it's not really what you like. You know, you already score lots of brownie points for that. Mm-hmm. But there are gifts you clearly know that the person just picked up from I don't know where, or his or her stash of extra gifts at home, which don't make any sense.
A little Marks and Spencer's hamper that came from Marks and Spencer's.
I would love a Marks and Spencer hamper.
No,
because
it's
not
the whole hamper. It's like maybe one of the tins out of the
or like just grab a cookie and wrap it up. Like.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
grab a cookie and wrap it up. Okay, so that is your bottom line there. That's like,
would be quite happy with a packet of cookies knowing me. Because at least you can eat it.
So I was thinking, the minimum gift we can get Channing for Christmas is like those one Subway cookie.
A singular cookie.
Which I never buy, by the way, but I do like.
But again, like you said, Channing, it comes to the thought that matters, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that someone cares about the gift is good. If the person cares about the gift and it's also a good gift, that's even better.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the perfect combination, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, sadly we know and it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, so I quite like asking people for gift ideas, right? And I particularly like doing this with children because I find that people assume what kids want a lot of the time. And actually, what they actually want is very different. So I remember, I asked a young relative of mine, he's about 7 years old, you know, what do you want for your birthday? And he was very specific. He wanted a red monster truck. And I was like, okay, that's very specific. You don't want dinosaurs? No, I got a lot of dinosaur things already. So, you know, it's actually quite eye-opening to ask people what they want or what they might use. And one of the things that the BBC actually suggests is, you know, don't have to get so hung up on the uniqueness of the gift. Because sometimes it's just practicality. And sometimes it's, okay, you know, what do people use in their day-to-day life? I have an aunt who bakes constantly. So a very easy gift for her is flour or eggs or baking ingredients.
Yeah, that's
or
great.
Cooking class.
Oh, cooking classes.
Yeah, cooking classes.
But
I know. So a few years ago for my birthday, I put out a list of books. Because I generally don't like things that will just clutter my room or add on to things. I don't like new things unless I have vetted them. So that's when the whole ask me first before you buy me something works. But if, let's say, you do want to surprise me with something, I have a book
but
list.
But Roshan, didn't you earlier say that you just give out one magnificent
that
gift?
That is for people.
Oh, so okay, so it doesn't work for you. So
No, it does.
You give people one magnificent gift, but you're quite happy to receive many gifts throughout the year.
If I get one magnificent gift, that's amazing. That's great. But for people who, there are still relatives who still want to buy multiple gifts a year or whatever. So they're here, there's a book list here of books that I want to get. And if you want, you can get them. But if you don't give me anything, I actually don't really care.
But I think in today's world, when we have a lot, and that's the truth, right? I think one of the best gifts nowadays I get is when people give to charities on my behalf. I really like that.
Yeah, that's a great idea because that's the thing, right? Like, we have enough in our lives. Like, when someone gives me a gift, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
There's someone else who could do better with it. Or if you get me a gift that I'm not going to use, I think that's worse than not getting me a gift because I'm happy not getting a gift. So on that pin drop silence note there, now everyone knows not to get me gifts anymore. I mean, don't not get me any more gifts. Now. That's also quite terrible.
Duly noted, Roshan. But yeah, no, I agree that giving to a charity or a cause that I would believe in would be, I think that would be a great gift on my behalf. And ultimately, that money would go to people who really need it. So, hey, that's an idea for you this holiday season. But do let us know nevertheless, what are your strategies for good gift giving? You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you and then we'll be taking a look at traffic control over in India. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. That was Everlasting Light by The Black Keys and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Roshan. Now, over in India is quite famous for its extremely congested roads. And one of its cities has come up with an interesting solution to try and rein in these drivers who would otherwise maybe run red lights, you know, just drive very erratically. And that is to place mannequins on the road dressed as traffic police. So this, the BBC has covered this, including as pictures of several people, you know, posing and taking photos with the mannequins. But I guess the biggest question for me here is, would this work on you? You know, if you were driving along and, you know, maybe considering breaking the law a little bit, you know, driving in that emergency lane like I know you do, would a mannequin in a traffic police outfit actually stop you?
Well, if I didn't know it was a mannequin and, you know, I drove past and it looked like a real human being, yes. You know, because we are human beings, right, in the sense that we don't want to get caught. We don't want to pay fines. And we only kind of know how to behave when somebody's watching. Otherwise, sometimes, yes, we can be guilty of breaking the law.
Yeah, this reminds me of the psych class I took in school. I think it's called the Hawthorne Effect, where basically in a manufacturing facility, they had installed a glass panel where management could watch the workers, and productivity increased after that. And I mean, we all have that experience, right? When we think that someone in a position of power is watching, that suddenly the productivity goes up. And
yeah, it's like security cameras as well. It could be a fake security camera in the corner for all that you know, but the fact that it's there means that you kind of sit a little bit straighter, right?
Yeah, and it's on our own federal highway, not federal highway, sorry, the Plus Highway, whether when going to Ipoh or coming back, there are those cameras, right, along the highway. And you can be driving at 80 kilometers an hour, but suddenly, and you know, everyone's just zooming past you, and then you'll meet these people maybe another 100 meters down the road because the camera is there and everyone has coincidentally slowed down together to not get caught. But it is quite a... You'll see people just speeding and then suddenly at the AES stops or whatever the camera is called, everyone slows down. And
yeah,
then right after the camera, it's boom, we're off again. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is very, very interesting. It's the Hawthorne effect in action.
Yeah, it's the psychology of being watched, right? So when you think you're being watched, you suddenly think, okay, I better be good, you know, I'll behave. And India is not the only place that does this, guys. I found out that in Nova Scotia in Canada, there's a town that's already been doing this. And now this is the really funny part. They say that the dummies have become a real staple of policing here in Yarmouth, which is this town in Nova Scotia. And by 2021, it'll be a fully mannequin man force. So they'll replace all the police with just these mannequins. And it seems to have worked because there's much less crime.
But see, when they announced that, doesn't that negate the effect of the mannequins? Because the whole point is that you're
supposed
to think...
People don't know, right?
You're supposed to think that they're humans. So if you say that, oh, you know, by 2021, it's going to be a fully mannequin-staffed traffic police force or whatever you have it, everyone's going to know that that's a mannequin on the side of the road.
Maybe people will forget. I don't know.
Unless these... This community in particular just needs a reminder that there's law and order. So every time they see the mannequin, they're reminded, oh yes, we should be obeying the law. And then they just all behave themselves.
Yeah, are they angels?
Yeah, exactly.
Angels don't need reminders to behave themselves.
Okay, well, I mean... maybe I'm not the best example here, but I know that we do sometimes see these, right? These kind of mannequins, particularly directing traffic here in KL around construction sites. And I see them and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, it's a mannequin. I just don't pay attention.
But that's to grab attention, right? That's to either they're holding an orange flag or the purpose there is to make sure that you see them and don't hit them or stay away from the construction site or be aware. It's not for enforcement. It's not for...
But I can imagine it would have the same... I would have the same thought process if it was for enforcement.
Maybe
right?
That's the key, is to have the mannequins, but don't let anybody know that they are mannequins,
exactly.
Right? Because once you know, you kind of like, nothing, like, just ignore them, you know?
Wow, but these Nova Scotia mannequins look really quite real. Because
right?
All you can see is the eyes. They're fully decked out in what I can call what was basically like, looks like army uniform or SWAT gear.
Exactly. And in US or so, in Arizona, in a town called Tucson, they do the same thing. They have so-called extra police also dressed as, mannequins dressed as police, and there's much less speeding. Now, this part I found interesting in my search.
Shanning, I think this is not a... Yeah, this is very interesting, actually. Sorry. It's a very interesting story, and I don't know whether it's a real story. It says satire here.
Oh, maybe it is, lah. Then it's satire. Oh, I got fooled. But the Tucson one is real.
So, okay.
But the other story, which is interesting, is that in US, because they have carpooling on the road, people have started putting mannequins in their car to get on the carpool lane. So you can use mannequins to enforce the law, but there are some sneaky people out there who put mannequins in their car to break the law.
Wasn't this in an episode of Friends? I vaguely remember Ross trying to sneak onto the carpool lane and then getting pulled over.
I have no idea.
Okay, so no one else watches Friends in the room. Okay, fine.
But this is quite an interesting subject. And do let us know how you would react to this, whether you think these traffic police mannequins would be effective here in Malaysia. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up on the 6:30 news, but first, A Kind of Magic by Queen, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Modest Mouse with Float On, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. Now, coming out of last weekend particularly, I think in Malaysia's political landscape, we did see rather a lot of infighting and rather a lot of conflict. And now Bersatu President Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has come out to say that, you know, Pakatan Harapan leaders should stop any kind of turmoil or disputes from happening within their parties, because it could have a negative, it could give a negative impression of the government to the people at large. A radical statement this is.
I'm sure it's just some random thought that came to his head and was spurred by nothing at all that's happened over the weekend. But I mean, it is what we're all thinking, right?
Yeah.
The more chaos and more disagreement we see, because there's one thing to openly discuss open disagreement between many sides of the government. I'm fully in support of the finance minister disagreeing with the economics minister on how to do policy. But to bicker about party politics on such a large scale and essentially act like children, I'm not going to go to your party, I'm going to go to my own party. Not agreeing on that, that's very concerning over the stability of Pakatan Harapan, as Tan Sri Muhyiddin has pointed out himself.
Yeah, because you wonder who's actually running the government, right? Or is everyone being distracted by all their own internal party politics? And we do know that, it's 19 months into this new government. It's still, admittedly trying to find its way, but all this messaging and all this optics from a dinner renaissance to a congress in Malacca and, different statements coming out from the different factions don't help, because you wonder, where's the focus? Because you know that when Pakatan Harapan took over, there were a long list of ailments, right, facing our country. We know the economy is soft. Our fiscal position was not as good as can be. Unemployment, especially among the young, was actually really high. Cost of living pressures. Those seem to be the most important things. But at the moment, that seems to be neglected. Instead, what is going on is a he said, I said, you said, she said kind of everyday kind of conversation.
Yeah, they're addressing these things, like cost of living and youth unemployment, but they're doing it in piecemeal all over the place. And there's no real, these are big problems, right? You can't solve youth unemployment overnight or cost of living. But you're not projecting your plan in a concrete way where people start believing in your ability to get the project done. Because if you say, okay, in 3 years, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to execute it, you get some belief, like, okay, we understand where you're going. But if you say on one corner, like, oh, we took away GST already, fuel subsidy program, all these different programs are all over the place. They're not coming to one cohesive-looking plan. It's a bit more scattered.
Yeah, I think that really is the issue, right? Because you look at what the Pakatan Harapan government has done, and yes, in isolation, you know, these individual elements, they're not bad moves. But where is the overarching vision?
I think aside from that, it's just the optics of it. Because as Absolutely. Human beings, right, we just tend to remember the bad news. Let's be honest. And at the top of our minds, even if the government announces some short-term measure, let's say to alleviate household debt or cost of living, that's just going to get lost in the messaging. Mm-hmm. Instead, what you will remember is that they had a fight.
Absolutely. But then, you know, at the same time, you know, as whatever we say about politicians and, you know, about higher purpose that has driven them to serve in government, they are still also human beings themselves. So there is, I think, the element of concern. Like when you look at the bitterness that has dogged like the PKR National Congress, for example, how much of that is going to carry over into the day-to-day runnings of the government? Because in an ideal situation, everyone is going to be extremely professional and nothing is going to be affected. But when do we ever see those kinds of ideal situations in a utopia, which we are certainly not?
And it's true, because if they're not getting along at a party level, they're probably not getting along at a government level either. And we all know governments, in government ministries, need to talk to each other, right? So one minister to another has to communicate, to issue, you know, to come up with certain policies, for example. But if you and I aren't speaking, how are the ministries actually even working together then?
Yeah, and at the day, if the economy was better or progressing, we would all be more tolerant of all of this. Because
I wouldn't.
Okay, but end of the day, it also comes down to, you know, like Bill Clinton's campaign in 92, right? I think it was his advisor at the time. It came out with the quote, "It's the economy. It's always going to be about the economy." And if the economy was good, we'd be more tolerant about it. But the economy is not going anywhere. And I mean, what's your favorite phrase, Shaoling? The most unloved market in Asia?
Yeah.
ASEAN?
But there's also just also this sense that where's the party discipline, right, to keep everyone in check, you know, and really just focus on the core issues. I mean, for sure, in any political party, hey, as long as there's two people in the room, there will be an argument, right? There's no running away from that. But you're a political party, so the optics do have to be very different.
Well, do tell us what you think about this. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, you can by WhatsApping us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are coming up on a few messages and then we'll be taking a look at social media and the front pages of the newspapers. So be sure to keep it here, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Something Good Can Work by Two Door Cinema Club, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Roshan. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps. So, Dinesh, we have, let's see what we have indeed.
Well, I have Sivanes who said that about the mannequins and asking whether if they were fitted with eyes that can record, that would probably be the most effective.
Yeah, it probably would be.
So it's a dummy plus a camera all in one. That really works, actually.
And actually, the camera wouldn't even need to be working. You just have to publicize the fact that these mannequins had cameras in them. And then everybody looking at it will be like, oh, is the camera on?
I'll just slow down.
I'm sorry to say, that's no longer a mannequin. That's a robot. And we're going towards Terminator in that regard. All we need to do is just get some AI, plug it in there. And who needs cops, really? Just let the mannequins do the job, right? You'll just see their mechanical eyeballs moving left to right, observing everybody.
Not creepy at all.
And we have a Bhaskaran who said that he thinks that placing a mannequin on the road carries, especially if it carries, a strong message. It's like, I'm here to save your life.
I am not so sure whether that
will work,
that
right?
Works so well as the threat of being watched. But then, you know, that's just my mistrust of the Malaysian public at large, I guess.
Yeah, I've got a tweet in here for basically questioning. We were talking about Christmas earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And questioning why we give gifts at Christmas. Is it really part of the... does it say in the Bible that you must give gifts during Christmas? And I guess to this, it's not so much about... it's become a very commercial holiday, right? Mm. And I'm not Christian myself, but I celebrate Christmas because it's the end of the year. My family gets back together. It's school holidays. And it's just fun to give people presents. I know I ran on the whole thing about how I only give one a year and all of that, but...
Well, we know we're not getting anything.
But giving someone a good present is very...
it's satisfying.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I'm the same. I have no religious affiliations with Christmas, but for me, it's a familial thing. It's a cultural thing, and it's ultimately, you know, it's a nice season to be giving things to people you care about. And we also have a tweet in from a Sim Weibun, who just so happens to be one of our producers as well, to say, I give what I would want as a gift myself, which I guess would work, particularly if you have shared interests with the person that you're giving with. But I do sometimes hesitate over that because I'm like, am I just projecting my own interest onto other people?
But the key thing there is, as you said, key interests, right? Shared interests, sorry.
Mm.
So if you two have a common interest, then at least that could work there.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea, actually.
All right, and now let's take a look also at the front pages of the newspapers. So the Star has gone with a headline about homing in on scammers. So this is a group of 40 online scammers from China busted by immigration officials in Ipoh. So this is following up. This is not long after the wide-scale raids that happened. I think it was in Cyberjaya in Putrajaya. So this is yet another of them that we're seeing here in Malaysia. Yeah.
And on the Financial Daily, the headline is Malaysia considering selling stakes in Petronas to Sabah and Sarawak. So such a move may give the states a stay in the running of the energy giant. I think this is also on the back of all these issues over the royalty payments to Sabah and Sarawak. And this is something, a story that we're going to continue later at the from 7 a.m. because it is an important thing, especially since there are also other issues with regards to MA63.
And I've got the Malaysian Reserve in front of me, and the headline is number of e-hailing drivers on the rise again. Now, if you're someone who commonly uses e-hailing, you would have, I think, felt the pinch from the PSV over the last few weeks as drivers start getting on board. Grab is saying basically that despite a 16% dropout in total numbers of drivers, because I think it's a bit of a cost to do the license, and if you're only doing it part-time, maybe 2 to 4 hours a week, may not make sense. They are at 62% of their target of getting 150,000 drivers back on the road. And they're seeing a lot of progress there, and hopefully we will see an end to the supply issue soon.
Yeah, and in page 4 of the Edge Daily, the headline is Najib bought watch Rosmah chose to make up for shortened holiday. So now we know why she got that nice watch.
Yes, it was to appease her.
Yeah, so that, I know some people have said, but it's, why is it, why do we call out people who have money? It's not about that. It's that the fact that he was a public servant. It's the fact that he was the prime minister of this nation. And should you be spending that much money if you're in the public eye as a public servant? I don't know.
You know, because I tend to be a little bit conflicted about this, because on the one hand, you have to ask where this money is coming from that he's spending, right? Mm. Because if it's his own personal funds or those inherited from his family, then I think, you know, that's your money to do with what you will. That's provided, of course, he's not using the public money to do this. But at the same time, as a politician, you have to be seen to be clean.
It's the optics, right?
It's the optics of it. So on that sense, you know, maybe he fell down a little bit, particularly, you know, in the midst of all of the trials that he's undergoing, these numbers coming out of a 470,000
ringgit watch. It's the lavishness of it all as well.
It just lends to the perception that he was a very lavish person. Now, speaking of leadership, though, we also do have some reports in The Star and the NST on pages 2 and 4, respectively, talking about Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. And in The Star, saying that the power transition to Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim will happen after the APEC summit next year in November. So that is indeed an interesting subject that we will be watching very closely. But right now we're heading into the 7 o'clock news, and after that the business end of the morning run. But first, here is Duya by Electric Light Orchestra, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.